But in Romans chapter 8, I'm calling this today the blessing of a spiritual salvation. The blessing of a spiritual salvation. And we'll start reading verse number 8. We're just going to look at a few verses toward the end of this, in the middle there. But in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 8, you'll notice that the Word of God says this. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. I don't care what Satan tells you and me, we don't owe the flesh a thing. And we're not forced to have to live by the will of the flesh. You have God's word on that. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify... And by the way, you can do religious things after in the flesh. I mean, some of the things that I've been praised most by certain people were things I did religiously in the flesh. And been dead on the inside spiritually. For as many, looking at verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Father, I've already pleaded for your help, and Lord, I beg you again, Lord, with all this within me, with all my heart, I ask you to help me. Because, Lord, I need you to do something with this message beyond just a human explanation. I need you to do something with power that shows forth the reality of you. Please, Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at verse 14, first thing I want you to notice is that the blessing of a spiritual salvation is, number one, it is a salvation of continuous leadership. It is a salvation of continuous leadership. In verse number 14, the Word of God says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we'll look at, we'll kind of hone in this in a moment, but one of the greatest things about salvation, it is a salvation that we're being led by God. You know, led by definition, it means to guide by the hand, as to lead a child. It often includes a sense of drawing as well as direction. You know, one of the blessings of being saved is sometimes even when we're kind of getting away from God, we kind of feel this drawing, you know. And God wants to be, even when we're kind of pulling away, God's pulling back. He said, don't go that direction, you know. I don't know if you've ever been heading a direction and God speaks all different types of ways. I know even different times in my life when I'm heading direction, even kind of get involved in carnal things, you know, I've looked toward earthly, worldly music to comfort me, and God will speak to me through worldly music to point me back toward Him, you know, and to show me that He's the answer, you know, and so, because God's everywhere, you know, and it's amazing that, and you know how great God is? And God didn't drop the hammer on me even about the music. He just said, you know, it's me that you're looking for. you know it's me that you need. You know that emptiness you have, you know that I'm in. And it's a continual leadership. And it says to guide or conduct by throwing the way. Because, you know, as a saved person, there's liberty to listen to those things. And so I found out it doesn't make me a better Christian even not to listen to those things. It makes me a better Christian when my heart is drawn toward God and I accept His drawing invitation. When before I would say, because I don't listen to this, I must be okay. Because I don't listen to this, I must be spiritual. Or even with saying, because I do listen to this, I'm condemned. No, I'm one of God's children.
And I'm his child, and as part of that, God's continually leading me, guiding me, directing me toward him, and he wants to do that, and it's meant to be a continuous leadership. You know, God doesn't mind being in control. I always laugh at myself. I remember when Lara was still living here, and I would take her to work, to one of her people, she watched children downtown, and it was kind of snaky, and I put it in the GPS, and I remember I probably took her to work there at least over a year, possibly 2 years, to a certain location downtown. And do you know that every single time I picked her up or took her, I always used a GPS? And after a year, you think I could find the way. But you know, and after a time, I could have, if I really wanted to, I could have did it on my own. But I saw no sense to do it on my own because the GPS could lead me there. And if I just allowed myself to be led, I could relax more, a more peaceful trip. I didn't have to take my mental energy and focus on anything else except by just following. You know, and when I get into the most difficulty in my spiritual life is that basically I don't want God's GPS. I say, well, I've done this before. You know, so I can probably just like, okay, I'm preaching today. You know, guess what? I've preached before. You know, and I've opened a Bible. I've said some points that are true. But, you know, I need the Holy Spirit guidance today like I've never needed it before. You know, and there should be that same, every single time I come up here, that should be my desire for God to lead the way. That, and one of the blessings of a spiritual salvation is that God's Holy Spirit never gets tired of leading us. Do you know what the great thing about it is? That whenever I listen to the GPS on the way to Lara's house, I never made a wrong turn. Now, there's times you can not focus and realize I have made wrong turns listening to when I'm not paying attention to the GPS or misunderstood the instructions. But you know what? And the great thing about the GPS, it's just like God. Lord, you know how I mean that. But it's that, you know, if you do make a wrong turn, it automatically corrects itself. It knows where you're trying to go. God, you know, think about it. When your heart is sincere, my heart is sincere, and we're really trying to head the direction that God wants us to, don't we head the wrong way occasionally sometimes, not even trying to? Now, there's times when we just kind of went our own way, but there's times we're trying to do God's will, and maybe we just lose our temper, and we didn't really mean for it to happen, you know? Because nobody that I know of really likes being out of control and lose your temper. But it happens sometimes, but God says, now, you know that's not the way you really want to act. You really want to be led by the Spirit. But you made that wrong turn, and guess what? All of a sudden, the GPS just recalculates, well, now that this happened, this is what you need to do to get to where you really need to go. And you know, that's what God continually does that in your life and my life. Okay? If you're born again today, you made a personal decision to give your life to Christ. You decided, after hearing the Word of God and by faith, you turned from your way to the way, saying that your way was no longer sufficient. You want to live the way. And guess what? You launched out to go that way. And guess what along the way? You know what happens along the way? The GPS instructions, God's instructions right up there, but either we're not paying attention, or we're not listening to it, or we're not focused on it, and we kind of got turned aside, and God just recalculates it. Now that this happened, well, you have to repent here first. Like sometimes my GPS will say, please make a U-turn. Turn around. You know, you're heading. It never said you're headed the wrong way, but it says turn around. Turn around when possible. That's what repentance is. You know, sometimes we head the wrong way. But God's salvation, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, is a salvation of continual leadership. You know, and it's funny, like I said, I laugh at myself because I never felt the need to learn a new way to get there, a new route. I never felt cheated. I never felt like I was not intelligent. I never felt that, well, I never felt less because I wasn't willing to find my own way. I just felt like, well, I wanted to pick my daughter up. I wanted to pick her up on time. And I just wanted to get there. You know, and think of how simple life really would be if we would just let the Spirit of God do the leading and not feel like, number one, take off without it, his leadership. And number two, that once he's established that he will lead us, why not let him lead us again
and again and again and again. Anybody ever had a time? Somebody give me a testimony right now of a time when the Holy Spirit of God led you to do something. Anybody? Don't be. Should I move on, or anybody think? Anybody got one? I can give you one when God led me to come to Canada. You know, that's number one. That's the one of the big ones, you know. And it didn't make sense. And guess what? He led me to come here. And because he did that, I can think of another time. I was heading. I have different places I study in town, and I was heading to a Tim Hortons to study, and the Spirit of God told me, no, you need to go to the Bounty today. And so I drove to the Bounty. And that's when I met this young lady named Savannah. And she was there. She had a fight with a boyfriend. She was lost. And I got to sit down with her and share Christ with her that I never would have got to share with her. And she, even remember when she moved back to Nova Scotia, thank God for the meeting and everything and how it does. And at different times, I remember we were on deputation. I went to an IHOP. And I was sitting there studying my Bible, and this couple came in, sitting over there, and God says you need to buy. God told me to buy their breakfast, and I bought their breakfast and wrote them a note. I only remember the notes of encouragement from the Lord, and I went on my way. And like a month later, I sent a note home to my church and telling how it just really encouraged me today. One day down here at Harris Grill on Ronsonsville, there was a couple came in with the twins, And God led me to buy their breakfast, and He told the Holy Spirit, and I wrote him a note and said, God will bless your desire to have children. I know it seems impossible right now. And that lady, she wrote me a card and sent me pictures of her twins, so I would have that picture. She said, you have no idea how much we were struggling, her and her husband, that day. And you know what? And I thank God. I thought, you know, they're going to think I'm crazy, you know. And, you know, and I am, kind of. But I could just think of different times, you know, that, and you know what, but I wish I could say every day is like that. That's just, I just pulled a few out of the air, but the majority of my days are not like that. Well, why not? The Holy Spirit is continually trying to lead me. Why do I not accept that leadership? Well, I just kind of like to direct my own way, my way to get there, you know, and I miss out on a lot of things because it is a great blessing. If you've ever been led by the Spirit of God, you know, the Holy Spirit tell you to do something, man, it's joyful. I mean, it's comforting. There's confidence. I think of people I've witnessed to. I know the Spirit of God led me to speak in a certain way, to say certain things. I mean, how great and powerful that it really is. And I mean, even if just last week at the meeting, I was telling my wife about this. There's a guy I met. His name was Poncho. No, was it still is Poncho unless he changed it since I left. But rough kind of looking guy. He'd had kind of a bad past, and I was coming out of the meeting. And he was just sitting in one of the chairs in under the tent because of the tent meeting I went to, and Holy Spirit said, go by and tell him that you love him. And so I went by and I shook his hand and said, Poncho, say I love you. And you have to see this guy. He's kind of a rough looking guy. Did you meet Poncho? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, and he just. And he just got choked. He started crying. He said, I was sitting back here waiting for somebody just to come tell me that they love me. And you know how great that felt? I mean, I felt like, you know, because men don't always say that, you know, because we, you know, because we're afraid because of the generation we live in. And most people don't really know what that means, you know, like I said last Sunday. And he just cried and we hugged and just had a time, and I said, I really mean it. That's what I said, you know. And honestly, my heart was filled with love for him. It wasn't just something to say, you know. And just, I mean, thank God for that. How blessed it made that day by just submitting to spiritual leadership. Number two, it is a salvation of liberty. Look at verse number 15 if you want to, because it's liberty. You don't have to, right? For ye have not received again the spirit of bondage, again the fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what you should ask yourself every time before you open your Bible, every time before you come to a church service, every time that you do, before you do anything that you think is for God or would honor God, you should ask yourself this question, why am I doing that? Why am I doing that?
We're in Romans chapter 8. Good to see you, sister. And because the Bible says that with salvation, the blessing of a spiritual salvation is that when you receive that salvation, it's not a spirit of bondage. So why are you here today? Are you here because you feel like you have to be, or you feel like that if you don't, God's going to be mad at you, or do you feel like you're going to be less clean if you don't come? Do you feel like you're here by some degree of obligation? And that's not spiritual salvation. And God doesn't want to be that way, because if you feel that way, there's something wrong with your relationship with God, or there's something wrong with the salvation that you have. I mean, there's times I've done religious things out of obligation. There's times I've went soul winning because I'm supposed to go soul winning. There's times I've preached because I'm supposed to preach. And in those times, what I found out, there was something wrong with my relationship with God. Because I wasn't walking in the Spirit, because one of the great blessings, again, of a spiritual salvation is that we've not received, again, the spirit of bondage. You know, because you think about our world, it's filled with things we have to do. Anybody buy anything from the store recently? Anybody look at your receipt and you see that HST and you said, "Praise God, I'm paying taxes." Anybody say that here? Because we have to, you know? Because you know what? Because the government knows that you're not going to go to Walmart or Canadian Tire and pay for your bill. Hey, can I just leave this extra for the government? Because I'm just thankful. So, the government, there's something that most of what we do in this life is compulsory. We have to do it. We're forced to do it. And it's the spirit we're governed by. You know, and in the world, we try to act like we're not governed by that. And there you got people that try to act like they run their own lives, but even them have to submit to something at some point. But what we receive with Bible salvation is not a spirit of bondage. You know, and I wrote down the definition of bondage. It means obligation or a tie of duty. And that's what my children tell you. When I told them when they got a certain age, I mean, I said, like, you know, y'all don't have to come to church here if you don't want to. I said, because I want them to come because they want to. And there's times they've done things, they've worked, and I think I'm true to say that I didn't condemn them. I didn't drop the hammer on them, you know, because they got the same liberty as everybody else to come and go when they want to. Because I want them to have a real salvation to where they're drawn to the house of God, not by obligation, but because the spirit of liberty that says, you know, I want to be there. I recognize that is the place where I hear the voice of God. You know, I want them to read their Bibles, you know, but I don't check on them every week to see how much Bible they read. I want you to read your Bibles. I don't call you did you read three chapters today? Emilio, did you read your chapter today? Because I want you to open the book, not because, well, you know, I got to make sure I give an answer to the pastor. You know, there were times, I never forget Brother Hardy, when I surrendered to preach, he told me that don't ever go anywhere not prepared to preach, you know. And I remember after that, but he told me about some times he'd been in services where he would just call on the preach or the pastor he was under. Now, he never did that to me, but there was for a period of time, I went to church afraid, because if I ever went to church, I don't have a message ready. And I thought, this is going to be the one time he's going to ask me to preach. You know? And I was feeling like, I got to be ready by obligation. You know, even though I was called to preach, I wanted to preach, those moments I felt intense. And now, generally, when I go somewhere, there's always some type of message burning in my heart. You know, like, honestly, I mean, I'm telling the truth. I could probably preach till 7 o'clock today, just the things that are on my heart today. I'd just take a break and keep going, you know. But it's got to be the right time. Number one, after a while, I'd be just talking to the wall. but because it's not by obligation, you know. And everything we do, it also means slavery or involuntary servitude, captivity. I mean, church should never feel like some place that you're stuck here. That's why I'm pleading with God that we'll have a spiritual revival, because if not, it's just going to be a time that we come where we have to do this for a few moments in time until we do what's next. It should be a place of power. It should be a place of liberty where you come here because, man, hey, I won't be anywhere there two or three people are at. You know, I tell you, the camp meeting me and Micah came from, man, it was just the spirit was amazing. You got people taking off weeks of vacation just to be under the tent and to hear preaching all week long, and they want to be there. And you can sense it by the spirit of liberty. It's not like they have to be. And that's what we receive when we receive salvation, because the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us, and then that drives us. Lord, I need to know You. I want to know You. And a spirit of salvation is one of great liberty. It's not, oh, I better read this or my life's going to be bad. If that's the way you feel, you're looking at God from the wrong perspective. You're not accepting that. You know, I was talking with a gentleman there at the meeting. You know, we were talking about slavery and things like that, and things I knew myself, and even some of the studies I did on slavery myself. Now, you know, the Bible says we're bought with a price. You know, we're bought by God. But even with that purchase, we still willingly get the chance to serve Him. You know, it doesn't come out very much because, you know, it is actually true that there are many slaves that when they were actually freed, they didn't want their freedom. It's just like the Bible says in Exodus, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I would not go out free. I mean, because they had been underneath a master that showed legitimate concern and care for them, and that was taking good care of them, that didn't treat them like property, that treated them like a person, and treated them with respect, and took care of them, and watched over them, and so to them, it was not a bondage. Though they were free, they felt like, you know what, I love this person that's been taking care of me. Now, because, you know, we could go back, well, but what about the circumstances that brought them to the country? Well, what about the circumstances that brought you to Christ? You know, they're not always the best of circumstances. But what happens, somewhere along the way, you look up and say, God loves me. And because He loves me, I want to serve Him. And because He loves me, I want to walk with Him. So, a spiritual salvation, the salvation that says, you know what, I'm going, you know, I'm studying my Bible now, not because I'm going to answer Brother Norwood, not because I'm going to answer to you, not because I'm going to answer anybody, because I love Him. and I really want to know Him, because I want to know Him in a greater way, and how much, and He's just so wonderful to me. And this is being lost in religion, you know. I mean, I've been in different meetings where different churches through traveling and deputation, and you're there for the Sunday school class, and people trying to memorize the Bible verses, and you hear them, you repeat them in this monotone way. You know, I mean, that's how we remember it, you know. And most people don't realize that most of the Bible verses I memorize, that I quote, I haven't really even tried to memorize it. It's just like I've been looking in the Bible, and God speaks to my heart about something, and I said, man, I got to remember that, you know. And I don't go through this ritualistic thing. It's just like, when I'm in a need, the Spirit of God brings this verse to mind. And so it's not like I'm trying to remember all these things so I can spit it out perfectly. It's, no, I need that. So I want that, you know. But what I'm making is, some of that memory has just become a routine, and it's dead and lifeless, and it's not really liberty. And now when you're a Christian parent, there's certain Christian principles you teach your children just because they're right. And for a while, they feel like they're in bondage. But then when they get to know Him, then they are turned loose, free to walk in the Spirit, to pursue God for themselves. So not only in this liberty of salvation, it is not a salvation of fear. Fear is a painful emotion excited by passion or expectation of evil. Now, this goes with what we're saying, the apprehension of impending danger. You know, many people do what the Bible says, just because they find it's going to be bad for them. It's just like when you're raising a child and he's going for the cookie jar and you say no. And if he keeps going, you maybe thump him on the hand or something. Now, and then the next time the child goes for the cookie jar, he says no, and he just turns away. Now, he didn't turn away because he got religion. He turned away because he's fearful, or she's fearful. Just like any other way, it's not alive. There's certain circumstances, you know. Just like if you anybody here drive, ever driven a car on your own, and you're driving along and you're looking to the left, to the right, not because you're afraid you're going to hit a pedestrian, because you're afraid there might be, because you know what speed you're going, and you're afraid because of the speed you're going that if somebody shows up, you want to make an immediate adjustment, not because you all of a sudden have great respect for the speed limit, but because you have fear of the consequences. You know, and a lot of what's happening in religion is sometimes that even people getting changes have presented the Word of God in such a way to where the majority of people are just trying to do right because they're afraid of the consequences. But see, Bible salvation, man, it's the spirit of liberty. You know, I love Him. And so the things I'm trying to do, I want to please God. I want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know why? Because he loves me. Because he wants to say that to me. And he wants to give me that. And the salvation that we have, verse 15 again, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again, the fear." See, we are so secure in our relationship as one of God's children when He saves us that it's not about bondage anymore. It's about that He saved you to be His, and we're not to be afraid or terrified as far as a fearful. He wants us to fear Him and respect Him, but in that context, but if we really have liberty to walk with God, and the Spirit of God will draw us to Him. And just like when Elijah, after he'd taken out the 450 prophets, he called down fire from heaven. He's running from Jezebel. He's in the cave and running from God's will. And the Spirit of God so gently comes to him. And the Lord says to him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" I always think about that. Sometimes when I'm backslidden, my heart's not right. It's almost like I always hear those words. What doest thou here, Reiner? Really, why are you thinking that way, Reiner? Why are you here? And God just comes to me and he didn't say, "After everything you just went through, you just called down fire from heaven. You just killed 450 prophets by the power of the Spirit of God. What on earth are you running for?" You know? Now that's the way we say it to each other. "After all your years in the Bible, you know better than that. Why are you acting like that? You know better than that." But God says, "What do you so here? Is it?" It's almost like God says, "Is that really working for you?" You know, I mean, if you're not right with God today, God would just gently say to you, "How's that working for you?" I mean, that's what He does to me. You know, I mean, and I know, and He's no respecter of persons. I mean, and because He's trying to get my attention to say, "You got liberty to come back to me." You know, and we really need a spirit. We need to walk in the spirit of the salvation that we've been given. This is what we have. He wants us to walk in it. Number three, also, the blessing of the spirit of salvation. It is a salvation of adoption. Because he said, "But on the contrary to bondage, contrary to fear, there's liberty. Ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, adoption is the taking and treating of a stranger as one's own child. And I was thinking about this. You know what makes people feel like they're adopted? It's not necessarily a legal act. It's just love. You know, I've told this story before, but I used to have these call them God children. I don't know why. I mean, it's just what they were called. And I would pick it up from school. And I remember buying some shoes for the boy and the girl just because I had worked with the mother. And they were in tough financial situation. I was a single guy. And I had money, you know. That was years ago. And one day I picked the little boy up from daycare. And I was friends. Because I was just friends with him, friends with mother. I mean, we didn't have any relationship going on at all. I just loved those two little kids. I mean, just felt like they needed some help. And one day, I went to pick the little boy up, and I guess he just felt the love I had for him. The kids around were just kind of looking at like, just now this boy is white as white can be. so you understand the illustration. And the kids are looking at him like, and I should add that we're in Arkansas, and back then it wasn't really too. It wasn't too kosher for black and whites to be together, you know. Although my wife and I survived by the grace of God, and even thrived by the grace of God. But like I said, even though I wasn't there, like I said, I had no relationship with the mother whatsoever, and we were just co-workers. But he looked at me one day. He came to pick me up, and they're looking at me, and they're kind of like they're looking for an explanation. And the little boy just says, "I'm white. He's black. That's my dad." And I never said anything, but he knew I treated him as he was my own child. Now, I had no children, but I did really treat him like he was my child. I mean, like I said, instead of wasting money on other things, I said, well, if he needed shoes, I bought him shoes. If he needed clothes, I got him clothes. If he needed picked up from school, I'd pick him up from school. You know, I would do things that a parent would do. I adopted him even without ever going through the paperwork, you know. And I've often prayed for him, wondering what happened to him. Because especially after I got saved, you know, wishing I had been saved then, I really could have helped him know what adoption is really like. But the short of what I'm trying to make is, see, what happened in that boy's heart was not a biblical, doctrinal explanation. It was just love. You see? And the adoption we have in God goes beyond. I read the definition of adoption, but what goes this a spiritual salvation tugs at the heart and says, man, your father loves you. And then your father cares for you. And oh, this thank you, Lord. This even makes the illustration better. And without even needing to say so, that spirit of adoption calls you to say to someone and tell them, you know what, that's my father. Just like your little boy, for no reason, it just kind of came out in his heart, that's my dad. You know, and that's where the most powerful soul winning will come from. Not being to argue with this doctrinal position against that doctrinal position that, hey, look, I don't know what you believe. I don't know what you think, but man, can I just tell you about my father? My father is greater than all, amen. And one of the that's the great blessing of a spiritual salvation, because it goes beyond you and I having to recite these doctrinal platitudes, these doctrinal positions. It's a deep relation. It's an adoption. And now I have a sense of belonging. I was once out. I didn't fit anywhere. But by the one who made everything, the one who is almighty, the one that is God himself, has come to me and said, that's my son. That's my daughter. That's my child. And guess what? I'm going to be them through whether through height, nor depth, nor any other, through principality, no matter what comes against them. That's my child, no matter what. Nothing shall separate them from me, according to what it says. Well, actually, it's right here at the end of the chapter, you know. Who shall separate from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, I'm looking at verse 35, or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. How could Paul say that? We know, but you know why Paul said that? The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. The same Spirit that abides in you and I at salvation, and that Spirit of adoption cries out that says, you know what? Nothing can separate me from God. You know, it's funny, can I tell you the truth? I knew that before I ever read the verse. Before I ever learned that verse in the Bible, I knew that. By the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of adoption that said that when I got saved, they didn't show me that verse the day I got saved. When I got saved, I knew that God said, I'm His. And I knew that since I was His, He had given me what's called eternal life. That meant I was forever His child. And God never, because of the Spirit that bore within me, I never had to have any other proof that I was His. And that's a great joy that comes with our salvation. It goes beyond some humanistic reason explanation. Yes, we do. We learn more about the Word of God. But guess what? It's just like as you know your Father, because He said, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice. You know, when you hear it, you say, okay, that's true. I believe that. Because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness. Wow, that is true. Yeah. And when you read that, when I read that verse later after I've been saved for a period of time, I said, oh, that's why I feel the way I feel. That's why I feel like God would never leave me nor forsake me, because of that. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Back in Romans 8, where we're still in Romans 8, it is also a salvation of crying. The blessing of your spiritual salvation is a salvation of crying. In verse 15, this Spirit that's in us, it said, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I wrote down two things regarding this. It is a cry for someone close. See, the great thing about salvation is when you're crying out for Abba, you know there's somebody that's close to you. When a child cries out for his father, if they're in a situation, they know that there's there's somebody that's close to them. They're not calling for a stranger. They're calling for someone that they have a close, intimate relationship with. And you know that there is the Holy Spirit creates that cry within us, and to where we're not crying out to some foreign being. Do you understand the great thing about salvation? God is no longer foreign to us. We're strangers in this land, but we're not a stranger to God. That's our Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, when the disciples asked Him how to pray, He said, when you pray, say, our Father. You're speaking to somebody close. And as you know about the term Abba here, this is like a personal term. It's like daddy. It's like it's a term of endearment. To me, it's like pastor. You know, when somebody, the term pastor is not a title to me. To me, it is a term that acknowledges my love and shepherding care of them. You know, some people like it as a, like when I got saved, I wouldn't care if everybody just called me Brother Harper, Brother Reiner. In fact, the church I got saved in, I was content everybody calling me Brother Reiner. And even now, you can call me Brother Reiner, you can call me Brother Harper, it don't matter to me. But those that recognize my care, some of them, they call me Pastor. And they recognize because of the way that God has put our love in my heart for them to care for them. And God places within our heart, through the Holy Spirit, a cry that says, Abba, our Father. There's not even a word for that to God. But you know when you're called and when you're crying out to God, is a cry for somebody that's close to you. You know, this is why walking in the Spirit is so important. Because think of the number. Because if you don't, I mean, how are you approaching God when you pray? I mean, it's a big difference if my children are approaching me, Papa, I need you. Papa, I need some help. Like different times when they've been hurt when they were little and they scream out, Papa. That's a different cry than there is Mr. Harper. Can you imagine one of my kids if they had a need? Excuse me, Mr. Harper, can I have a moment with you? wouldn't you think that's unnatural? But sometimes the way we pray, it's almost like God is an authority figure rather than a close personal one is close, and that's the real reason why we don't pray, and I can testify this from bad parenting myself. There's times that my children approach me as an authoritative, have in the past approached me as I hope I can say sincerely in the past as an authoritative figure, rather than just being able to say, you know, I know my Father's care. I know I can trust Him. I know I can talk to Him about this, and so I want to talk to my Abba. I want to talk to my Papa. You know, I always thought it was unique that when they would talk to other people about me, they would say my dad. But then when they talked to me, they called me Papa, and I thought that was a blessing, you know, because I didn't understand why the difference, but to them, when they talk to other people, they're referring to my position. But when they talk to me, they're talking personal. And when we talk to other people about God, we say the Father or the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we go to prayer, it should be personal. It should be Abba, Father. Because there should be something that says, you know what, this is not, though we glorify Him and we magnify Him for his powerful voice, that can say, let there be light, and there was light. The one that spoke the world to existence, our Savior who walked on the sea, and they could calm the sea and say, peace be still. The one that could cry with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Though He glory in His majesty and His awesome might, the Almighty God that He is, when we hit our knees, or if we're just anywhere, if we're on our face, or we're in a car, or we're in a chair sitting, there, the spiritual salvation says, Abba. Because we're close. This is why we need a spiritual walk, because When it's just religious, then he is just that powerful figure that's distant from us. Because think about it, if you have a great need, and think about this, this is why when we have need sometimes, we go to people more than we do the Lord, because we have established more of a personal relationship with people than we have received the spirit of adoption to where this is our Abba. This is our Father. And man, there should be a closeness. You know, when you're crying out to God, and there should be that's my Father. And we're crying corporate, that's our Father. And like I told some time ago, that's when Jesus said, teach that, he said, our Father. I'm saying I have the same Father as Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is teaching them there. So this is no light proposition when you're going to God, our Father. Because remember, Jesus said, they asked Jesus, when you pray, said, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, well, when you pray, speaking to his disciples, say, our Father. Meaning mine and yours. Amen. And that'll change the way you're thinking in prayer. It should. And then if you yield to the Spirit of God, that says that's not just though that is the Lord God Almighty, though he's your master, he's your ruler, he's your Savior, he's your Abba. And only the Holy Spirit can cause you to see that. That's who we walk in that. That's the blessing of a spiritual salvation. And not just an intellectual belief in principles. Because, man, I mean, isn't it great to think about the God who has everything is so close to you that he placed within you his Holy Spirit that you could cry to him, Abba, Father? Not only is it a cry for someone close, but it's also a cry for someone of authority. Because it's not just Abba, but it is Father. So that authority is there. But the authority is there because it's great. That means that authority can do something. You know, when a child cries out in the night for their father, or if it's their mother, they're crying for somebody they believe that can help them. They're crying because they're crying to somebody that they believe has more power and authority than they do. And the Holy Spirit of God tells us that. And we must walk in this according to the Spirit of God. If not, we never have that confidence in the things we do for God and the walk we have for God. So it is the salvation of crying, and last of all, it is the salvation of confirmation. In verse 16 it says, the Holy Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit is one that says, hey, you belong to God. I mean, because I tell you, you can't have enough intellectual convincing that you're born again. True Bible salvation comes by the Spirit of God. It's like the old song says, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Amen. And that's how I know he lives. Why? Because the Spirit of God said so. And that's a great joy. I mean, because it's funny, and the more you read the Bible, the more you're convinced of that, because of the Spirit of God said, yeah, that's you. Yeah, that's you. That's you. And also, the Holy Spirit, in confirmation, the Holy Spirit bears witness that you are an heir of God. If children, it says, we are children of God, verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God. So, you've inherited God. The Holy Spirit says that. Again, God is Father, God is Savior, God is Master. But you're a joint heir, you're heir of God. You've received that because the Holy Spirit is God, mind you. And with salvation, you receive God inside of you, the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit confirms that. And salvation is such a wonderful confirmation, but it's got to be a spiritual salvation. That's why when you're trying to share Christ with somebody, you can't really talk them into this belief. They have to willingly have faith in Christ, and then they receive the Holy Spirit, and all these things come in. And that's what God wants us. I'll go back for that. But next of all, the Holy Spirit bears witness that you are joint heir with Christ. Still in verse 17, and if heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Now, when it says here, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So as a joint heir of Christ, you know what we inherit? We inherit the suffering of Christ. Yea, all who love God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we inherit the suffering, but we also inherit the glory of Christ. Remember Jesus when he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven? He said, don't rejoice in your power here, but rejoice that your name is written down. You realize Jesus had power and authority in the earth, but he didn't use it all? Of course, if he had, he never went to the cross. You know. Do you know why Jesus didn't use his power to make him out a good earthly life here? Because he had great confidence in what his heavenly Father was going to do with his name. And do you know why that we don't use our power and our liberty to establish a great life here? Because we have confidence that our name is written down. We have great confidence what our Father is going to do with our name eternally. We're joint heir with Christ. And just like there is, now Jesus' name is going to be above every name, but we are given an eternal name, and it's settled forever in heaven. I mean, that goes beyond anything we can imagine, and that's so great. And that confirmation is what causes us to be able to endure difficult times in this walk, in the Christian life, and just praise God for it. But we must walk in this spiritual salvation, or there becomes no difference between us and everybody else. We just are overcome by the same woes, because the rain, guess what? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. See, salvation does not call us to escape the problems of everybody else, but it calls us to glorify God and magnify God in the midst of those problems, and to see His great hand in all those things, you know. And as we accept and walk in a spiritual salvation, then everything is wonderful. Now, closing with this, we know this because I preached it 2,197 times. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine," whereas in Exodus, but what? Right, see, that's 2,198 there. So be filled with the Spirit. Now, why is that important? Well, because if you're saved, anybody saved today and still happy about it? Okay, so if you're filled with the Spirit, that means, guess what? Your life is a salvation of continuous Holy Spirit leadership. Because that's where we started. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And if you and I are filled with the Spirit, then guess what? It's a life of liberty. I mean, you need to read the book of Acts sometimes, and you really realize that God's people did whatever they were supposed to do. Yeah, there were trials, but they still did whatever they put. Here, Paul, he's on a boat. He's trying to say, "Hey, be a good cheer. God told me that I'm going to Rome." He said, "We're going to lose the whole ship, but nobody's going to die." And so they're petrified. They're scared to death and thinking about what to do. But Paul says, "I'm going to Rome. Y'all go wherever you want to, but I'm going to Rome." I mean, but God did tell me that if you don't abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Now, you're going to lose the ship. Catch this for faith. You're going to lose the ship, but if you get out of the ship, you're not going to make it. So they had to stay in the ship and lose the ship so they could live. Amen. Paul had liberty, you know. Hey, Paul and Silas in the jail. I love this song. I can't remember who sang it, but it's called "I Never Lost My Praise." And here's Paul and Silas. They're in jail. They're in the stocks. They've been beaten. And guess what? They never lost their praise. Amen. And they're singing praise to God at midnight. And guess what? God just opens the jail. And they got liberty to leave. But no, he said, "No, we've got our purpose here." No, he told the jailer, "Hey, no, don't kill yourself. We're not going anywhere. We've got liberty to leave this spot, but we don't have to because God has us here." And guess what? When you walk filled with the Holy Spirit, you enjoy that liberty. You know why you and I feel trapped sometimes in this life? And when we're not walking the Holy Spirit. You know why we feel like, you know why there's so many believers that speak more about the authority and the power of what the government's doing? I hate to, being from the United States, I'm so sick of hearing believers talk about what Donald Trump is doing. I would just like to hear some believers talk about what God is doing. I mean, God is almighty. God is the Lord. He's on the throne. Amen. Donald Trump is not going to, Donald Trump doesn't really help my liberty or hinder my liberty. If I walk through the Holy Spirit, God will reveal His plan for me. And guess what? I will do whatever God wants me to do as long as I stay in His plan. You know, just like in Psalm 91, where it talks about he that in the secret place, abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It talks about the wings. And Brother Gates brought this out. And you may remember this story. There was a picture that made some major magazine one time. This barn or something that burned to the ground, some building. And there was a hen that had covered her chicks in the fire, the hen died, but when they pulled all the rubble away, they could see this hen with her wings over those chicks, and the chicks were alive.
I mean, that's a human example. Imagine what the wings of the Almighty does when He shadows us. I mean, that's what God does. And so, and we have the liberty to walk with God, and these things of the earth don't bother us.
When we walk through the Holy Spirit, we have that spirit of adoption. No matter what the world says, that's my Father. You know, you can... You can maybe have a tough day, and they may say, "Well, you don't look like your father." Yeah, but I know that's my father. You can say what you want, because you understand it's not about performance. It's about a heart, spirit within the heart that knows that's who my Father is. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that fills. When we're filled with that, we have that spirit of adoption, and we know that I don't care what's going on in this world. That's my Father. He's adopted me. I'm His. And nothing can separate me from the love of God. And then that same feeling causes us to have a continual crying of the Abba, Father. You know, it's a blessing to be a father. Yeah, I think even as old as my children get sometimes when they've been gone or I've been gone, it's amazing how we just all get together and we just want to be in each other's presence. And sometimes we don't even know why. We just feel like we need to be in the room together. But it's a blessing. Why? Because of the closeness. And guess what? The more I walk filled with the Spirit, the more my day cries out, Abba. And it's amazing how much a little child really just wants to be around their parents. And if they have a good father, they want to be around their father. I mean, as well as the mother. But I'm just staying with the father for the illustration here. That's why we become as little children. Because little children are filled with that spirit of trust, that spirit of submission, that spirit of crying, that I need them, I need them. And guess what? When we are filled with the Spirit, we cry out for our authority. Guess what? When something happens around, there's a natural instinct for a child to cry out. Father, Papa, Daddy, whatever it is. Or Mama, whatever the case may be, but using Father for the example. And say it is in the spirit of when we walk filled with the Spirit, we're convinced that we're a child of God. We're convinced of our inheritance. You know, when you know you got an inheritance, you're not really worried about what's going on right here, right now. That's why it's so important to be filled with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of salvation confers in you and my heart. There's so much more to this than paying bills and buying clothes and shoes and having transportation. Man, this is a great life we have in God. And this is just the surface of what we're doing. You know how many of you, you know why when we work secular jobs, you know why we do that? We endure that labor because we believe there's a payday coming. You know, anybody ever work, if you ever had a job, after a period of time you didn't believe that you were going to get paid anymore, I don't know anybody yet that hasn't quit that job. And you know why many believers are quitting on the Lord? Because they don't believe there really is a payday coming. Because guess what? When you and I don't walk in the Spirit, remember what it said in Psalms? They said, Lord, be not silent unto me. If thou be silent, lest thou be silent unto me, I become like them that go down to the pit. And when we don't hear from God, which is that yielding and filling of the Holy Spirit, we become just like those that go down to the pit. We work just like them. We struggle just like them. And we work for a temporal survival, just like all of them do also. But oh, my soul, when we recognize the great blessing of this spiritual salvation, and we walk filled with the Spirit, you know, we can say like the apostles did, we're troubled on every side, not distressed. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing by the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in us, recognizing that every trial and difficulty is just to shed light on who Christ is. And oh, my soul, this salvation that we have is so incredibly sweet. It's so great. And God would like every believer today just maybe renew your walk with God through the Holy Spirit. You might say today, Lord, I really don't... You know, I was thinking about this today, how simple it is to find out if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and because God told us to, and we need to stop and seek it. Most of it, it's pretty clear when, you know, it's funny, there's so many other commands in the Bible, It says, be angry and sin not. It says, flee fornication. It says, love your enemies. Anybody, is it pretty clear we're not loving your enemies? In fornication, we know if we're fornicating or not. We know if we're angry or not. We know all those things, but you know what? It's funny how we act like this mystery. Well, I don't really know if I'm filled or not. Well, it's very simple. Are you yielding? Is God's Spirit leading you? Your thoughts, your acts, and your motives for today? If the answer is no, you know what God is saying to you and me? What doest thou here? Why? Did it sound like a spiritual salvation is a good salvation? Really? I mean, so God would say, you and I, if you and I was, if we could stop and say, well, am I walking today in the Spirit of God? Is God's Spirit guiding me and leading me throughout the day? And then it's pretty simple. We're not filled. And we need to stop and say, well, why not? Why miss out on the wonderful joy of everything that salvation really has to offer? Times I feel like I've trapped in my responsibility, trapped in my life, is just when I'm not walking in the Spirit of God. You know, the things that we're called to, like in pastoring, this is a great privilege that I have. But there's times I haven't thought it was a privilege. I thought it was a weight. You know why? When I'm not walking in the Spirit. Being a parent is a great privilege. But the time when I think it's a heavy weight, I mean, how am I going to do this? It is impossible in and of myself, but when I walk in the Spirit, then it's just, there's actions that happen, then not just things I'm supposed to act. And so forth and so on, other responsibilities in life. But man, what a wonderful joy it is to be a child of God. I just want to encourage you today, just to, maybe if you're born again today, you might just, I encourage you to, if you're saved today, I really believe there's something in you that's crying right now that I need to talk to God. And if you're saved and you have that cry that says, I need to talk to God to someone, I would encourage you to say, Our Father, I need your Holy Spirit to lead me. And I need your Holy Spirit to guide me. And just see what God does from there. And I have every confidence that it'll be good. If you're not born again today, man, don't miss out any longer. Man, just give your life to Christ. It's so much better. Now, I used to have a religious salvation where I had to be good enough all the time. I always felt like people were looking at me. I was worried about if I did enough. And honestly, I worried if I convinced people I was saved when I wasn't saved. You know, well, do they really believe I'm saved now? You know, I did this, do that. Is this enough? I wonder what Brother Frank thinks of me now that I'm doing this. And I did this, and I kind of mentioned it out loud so Brother Frank would know that I've been trying to get better. I'm looking for my confirmation from Brother Frank instead of having it from God, you know. But oh, my soul, it's such a joy to walk with God and to serve Him, you know, and not to, I don't have to worry about, and like I said, I'm a pastor. I don't worry about what my pastor thinks of me. My pastor and I, we love each other, and we get to talk about the Lord. And many times I'm talking about a decision. I'll tell him, please rebuke me, correct me if you see anything wrong with what I'm doing, because I'm secure. I'm not trying to perform for him. I don't have to. I'm saved. And you know, when your friends come against you and your family come against you, just let the Holy Spirit God stir your heart up. You know, we don't always have an answer every single time, but God will give us that answer. But sometimes you just say, well, you know, I'm sorry you don't understand. But just like you go to somebody last week, something that just the joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's something you can't explain to a lost person. I told my wife the other day, well, this morning, we were talking about buying fruit. I went to the store and bought some fruit. I was thinking, man, what a blessing it is to have money to buy fruit. I remember times that fruit was like a luxury in our house. And I thought, man, we got enough money, we can buy fruit. And some people wouldn't think that's a big deal, but God did that for us. That's amazing. You know, and people, someone in the street would be like, okay, boss. Just, I got you. But Heavenly Father, I thank you for being so good and loving to us. And Lord, I wish I could say more. But I'm trusting now your Holy Spirit to move and descend upon the hearts of your children, to encourage them in the great salvation that you've given them. Lord, perhaps there's a believer in this room right now that would be honest and say, Lord, I know I haven't spent much time being led by your Spirit or walking according to your Spirit, or certainly not filled with the Spirit.
But Lord, I recognize that you showed that to me, not to condemn me, but just to bring me closer. Lord, if there's a believer here today that can have that testimony, I just pray they would thank you for speaking to them, and they would just cry to you and say, "Our Father, please guide me by your Holy Spirit." And I pray and even say, "Our Father, please teach me what it is to have a life continually filled by your Holy Spirit." Lord, I just pray, Lord, I know that you want us to walk in everything that salvation really is. Would you encourage the heart of every believer in this room today? Give them faith to go forward by faith in thee. And for those that are not saved, would you please show them your great goodness, that they would be led to repent and believe on Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who gives us this wonderful privilege to talk to you in prayer.